It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. Top 4-4 brought to you this afternoon by Citizens National Bank. Here's Adam Hickman.
Thank you, Russell. Number 1 today, the big news in the sporting world is that J.J. Watt has announced that he is signing with the Arizona Cardinals. Watt posted a picture on Twitter of him rocking some Cardinals gear, and his contract, I believe, is 2 years, $31 million.
Good work if you can get it.
Kind of surprised. You guys were getting him with the Titans, according to you and Titans William, Russ.
I mean, we wanted him. Didn't work out. Can't get them all, Barry. Can't get them all. I guess he gets to reunite with DeAndre Hopkins.
I would say that's probably why he's going, because last week, I believe, when his finalists were released, Arizona was nowhere to be found.
Isn't that interesting that free agents are choosing to go? I know Hopkins was traded, but it's that used to be a franchise that nobody wanted to go play for. The Bidwells are the owners there, and they have a reputation as being super cheap and just a dysfunctional organization that nobody wants to go to. And now all of a sudden, for a while now, they had the Kurt Warner years. That's a
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, it's a destination that people want to be in.
And the weather's beautiful. And they seem to be on the upswing. They seem like they're just, you know, maybe a couple, two or three pieces away from making another big run at a Super Bowl. So
maybe they got another one today.
Number 2, Sam Horn committed to the Missouri Tigers over the weekend, which came as a big surprise to a lot of people here in town.
Nah, we didn't want him anyway. You heard Don. This kid up in Indiana is better than Horn and Simpson together. Horn's probably going to play baseball anyway. Who needs a quarterback? We can just run the single wing. We'll let T. Hodge be our quarterback.
Number 3, Tennessee Vols dropped a game on the road against Auburn Saturday. And for the first time this season, we are now out of the top 25.
Yeah.
We were the only SEC team to be ranked all year until 4 hours ago.
It's just brutal. It's just absolutely brutal. This season has fallen apart. Never would have believed it. I never would have believed it if you had told me this back in December, that we would be sitting here unranked. Unranked? Are you kidding me?
And it's not like things are really looking up. If you don't figure it out before March, you're never going to figure it out.
Okay, James Naismith.
Number 4, Bears.
Pump the brakes a little bit. There's still time. We got one more regular season game. We got the stupid SEC tournament, and then we're going dancing, okay?
Number 4, Bears Washington football team plans to release quarterback Alex Smith. Smith, who will be turning 37 in May, has a $24.4 million cap hit for the 2021 season. Ooh.
Yeah, much as I hate it, you can't take that kind of hit for a one-legged quarterback. And I wish that they had tried to get with him and maybe restructure his deal. But, you know, that didn't happen.
Wonder what his next move is.
Probably mentor some rookie.
What was that? I was going to say, I have no idea. I would, if I were him, I'd probably think about retirement, but I would have never come back in the first place after almost losing my leg twice. But
yeah, I said, Bear, he should just go mentor some rookie somewhere.
Get into coaching, get into broadcasting, something like that.
And maybe sign with Jacksonville.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, go and mentor Trevor Lawrence, or heck, I could even see, always as a Titans fan, I'm always looking for a decent backup quarterback. Seems like a good guy to have in your locker room, all that kind of stuff. I just don't know how much he has left in the tank as far as what he has to offer anymore. All right, there you have it. The top 4 at 4 brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Over 20 branches in Knox, Sevier, and Jefferson counties. We love CNB. You will too. For a branch new year near you, visit cnbtn.com or just call 865-453-9031. Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Have an update on Lady Gaga's dogs coming up in hour number 3. They have been located, Bear. They are safe.
Yeah, I saw that over the weekend.
Get to that coming up here in just a bit. First, though, we go back to the phones. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Morning, sorry, W.
Phil, hey.
How you doing, Bird?
Phil, we're doing well. I mean, it's this basketball season is just blown up in our face. It's been a complete disaster. There's no sugarcoating it, but I don't know. Is there any chance this thing gets turned around in time for a decent run?
I doubt it, but you never know. I mean, Kansas looked like they were, you know, the same situation we were, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and here we are, you know, looking off them, and Kansas beat Baylor.
Yeah, after that game with us, we've the two of us have gone in two entirely different directions since then, haven't we?
Yeah. Sure have, and it's, you know, it's all about recruiting and or lack of.
Yeah, we keep saying that, but so many of the guys that are underperforming, first of all, there's Fulkerson, and he was not a highly touted recruit, but we obviously had huge expectations for him coming into the season. But then I look down the bench, and Corey Walker can't get on the floor. Uroš Plavšić, who we were told was going to be a force, can't get on the floor. Pember can't get on the floor. We've got all these guys who just aren't being productive right now. And even the even Josiah Jordan James, when he was healthy, he's not playing at a five-star level. So, yeah, I feel you, Phil. Like, we got to fix it by recruiting. We need to flip our roster. We need better players. But so many of those guys were highly thought of when they came in, and they just haven't panned out.
Yeah, Vescovi's worse this year than he was last year, even though he turned the ball over more last year. He still was hitting more big shots and had great passes to get the crowd fired up. I mean, just looks like a pedestrian player. You can't hit a lot of them three now.
Do you wonder about him not coming back next year?
Well, it's a possibility, isn't it?
Not being, like, forced out or anything, but just, hey, this isn't for me. I want to go play. He could probably go play professionally back home in South America or over in Europe, or maybe he wants to go play for a college coach that'll take the shackles off and let him play like he was last year.
Yeah. Well,
I hope he doesn't, but I do wonder if that's something he's thinking.
But they're going to have to do completely overhaul this roster. They need to sign at least two inside players, and they need another guard to go along with what they got coming in, even though, because you know, Springer and Keon are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to need to be very active, I would say, as far as looking at the transfer market in the transfer portal, and maybe a late bloomer. You never know. Chris Lofton was a guy that kind of fell into our laps right there at the end in the spring 1 year, Phil. So there are players out there. You got to go find them.
Or players reclassify early, yep, which is starting to be a bigger trend in college basketball.
My only thing with that is that's fine if it's a kid like I can never remember how to pronounce it. Huntley, Hartfield, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I mean, he sounds like a five-star prospect. By all means, go ahead and get him.
Exactly.
But it's got to be
sure thing.
Yeah. Otherwise, you get into a situation where the kid's not ready, takes some time to adjust, and it's like, what are we doing here?
That's pretty cool, Don. Thinks we're going to get that player. Dan Mullen's after that player that were in Indiana. So you think we got a legitimate shot at him?
Hey, I didn't realize Dan Mullen was sniffing around him.
But they've offered three or four-star quarterback. They need to just get one. I think they're adequate at quarterback now. And if soccer's as good as advertised, it ain't going to matter. But we still need to recruit one every year.
This might be a year, Phil, where you have to, quote-unquote, settle for a three-star type prospect, somebody that he might have been recruiting at UCF anyway, that is going to jump at a chance to play in a Power 5 conference, because all these elite quarterbacks have been recruited by these other schools for 2 or 3 years. And if Dan Mullen's been watching you and been contacting you for the past 2 years, well, you already have a level of familiarity there that Josh Heupel isn't going to be able to compete with, because he's only been in his school for a month now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and there'll be more people in the portal for next year. And people be leaving after the freshman year because they'll be disappointed they're not playing. That's just the way you think football is now.
Sure.
Two more things. Congratulations to Catholic. Going to state championship. Two games away. And how come you didn't ask Brandon? Yeah, how come you didn't ask Brandon Kennedy anything about Gitmo? See,
I asked him what his favorite memories were, and I asked him
you did ask him about the McDonald's bags.
Yeah, you can't say that the drive shies away from the tough questions.
Nope. I was kind of surprised you asked him about that.
Was that a bad look?
No. But I mean,
it was a little bit awkward.
As we all know, he's a very seasoned, veteran kind of guy, and he definitely pulled the matador on you. Olé.
He wasn't jumping in there.
No, he wasn't. So, which I don't blame him.
Yeah, I took my shot.
Yeah, shoot or shoot.
Wasn't expecting him to take the bait, but hey, all you can do is throw it out there and see what happens, right?
Yeah. So what do you think about Catholic's chances, Russ?
Who are they playing?
I believe they, in the semifinals, they'll be playing MBA, Montgomery Bell Academy. And then they'll play the winner of Christian Brothers. Now, I still have no idea who the fourth team is.
I would say if your alma mater doesn't win another state championship with, what, four legitimate D1 prospects on the roster?
Five.
I would say if your program can't repeat as state champions with back-to-back with five D1 prospects on the roster, then that would be a choke job for the ages.
I don't feel like you're kind of setting us up. I mean, there are no
don't
bad
get shy
teams
on me now,
four.
Bear. You and the Altar Boys have been banging this drum all year, like, oh, we're so great, we're so awesome, so many players we recruited, and now we get it. Don't start sandbagging now. Call your shot.
Well, I'm saying, I mean, they got a, and the fourth team is Brentwood Academy. You're talking about, you know, the four best basketball programs in the state.
Oh,
Christian Brothers out of Memphis, Brentwood Academy, MBA out of Nashville, and then the mighty Fighting Irish out of Knoxville Catholic.
Do you have a good shovel?
Are you going to root for your home city school?
Do you have a good shovel right now to get all this sand in the bags right now? I mean, you're on the side of a levee, basically, just trying to.
I like our chances, but any one of these teams could beat any one of these teams. I mean, I'm being realistic about
it. It's D1 talent versus D1 talent.
Yeah, all four schools have D1 talent on.
Five?
I don't know about five, but, you know.
Brentwood usually always has a four-star, five-star guy on their roster.
They don't have anybody five-star this year, unless I'm just completely mistaken. Phil could probably correct me. I wish he hadn't hung up so soon. I know that Christian Brothers does. I can't remember the kid's name. On paper, you would look at it, you would think, you know, Catholic's definitely an extremely talented squad, kind of a blue collar group of kids.
Who else? Are there any other East Tennessee teams playing for state championships?
I'm not sure. The public schools, I think, are like a week behind. I think your West High Rebels, won this weekend.
It's not surprising.
So after they dodged Catholic this year. And it won't any.
It's not surprising. A tough and gritty group. Tough and gritty group. No doubt about it. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. I saw that. Isn't Tennessee's men's tennis program ranked in the top five right now? I think they're undefeated. They blasted Ole Miss over the weekend.
I did not see that.
Tennis school. Tennis school, shout out to Chris Woodruff. Getting
really
it done.
Do anything for me.
Do what?
Tennis, being a tennis school, that's not something I'd, you know. I mean, that's great. I wish them all the luck in the world, but I'm not going to be happy until we're back in football and doing quite a bit better in.
Well, no, but you take your.
And
you take your pleasures where you can get it, right? Third-ranked Vol Tennis cruised past Mississippi State over the weekend to improve to 13-1 on the season. Shout out to Vol
Apparently, Tennis. Apparently, Steve McNair's son plays for Brentwood on the basketball team.
Hmm. How about that? 865-546-8200. Let's go back to the phones. Martin is up next. Hello, Martin.
Hello, Russell. Russell?
Yeah.
I got news for a quarterback situation.
Okay.
Tavian Jackson, a 6'5 quarterback out of Indiana.
Yeah.
We've offered him, and we've offered Tevin Clark Carter, a 3-star quarterback out of Memphis.
Tevin Carter. Yeah, he's a nice player. Oh, we're going to get somebody this year. I mean, Josh Heupel's going to sign a decent quarterback, I would imagine. My hope is that
– Brent Hubb said we would get one of the Wade twins. He said we'd get both of the Wade twins. It's a recruiting start tomorrow. Signing day was tomorrow.
I love the Wade twins.
He said we'd get the Wade twins.
I love the Wade twins. We better get them.
Are they good, Russell?
Oh, are you kidding me? The Wade twins? Bear, tell them about the Wade twins.
They're twin brothers. And they both play football in Tennessee. One's a linebacker, and I cannot remember.
The other one's play quarterback.
The other one's a quarterback.
Yeah, linebacker and a quarterback. So, I mean, they're in-state. It's very important we start getting these in-state kids.
Yeah. I hope we get them because put West out of the state last year.
Why do you have to bring that up, Martin? Why you got to bring that up?
I don't bring it up because I'm from West, too.
Oh, you're a West High Reb?
Yes.
Oh, what class?
79.
Woo! Look at that, my brother Martin, Bear. We share the same alma mater.
Surrounded by rebels.
Couple rebels.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to give you that update, but I know what Brett Hubb said on another station about the Wade twins. He said if signing day was tomorrow, we would get the Wade twins.
Boom. Well, if Hubbard said it, you can take it to the bank.
That's about 90% so, Wayne.
That's what I say.
Yeah, he's got your show a lot too. Trent feel Phillips, that, Russell.
Martin, thank you for the phone call, man. Great to hear from you. Just love talking to a fellow West Rebel. I could just tell. That's the second time he's called the show, and I could just tell Bear that there's some serious intellect behind there.
You can tell he spent a lot of time in the smoking pit over there at 3300.
There's no smoking pit. You couldn't smoke in high school.
There was back when Martin was there. I guarantee him
well,
you
yeah,
that.
Probably. Could you smoke at high school when you were there?
Hell no. No. No, 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 you couldn't.
When did they
think about it?
When did they get rid of that?
Gotcha. Whew.
Well, oh, yeah, you were private school. Public schools.
You still couldn't in public school in the 80s.
They phased that out probably, what, the 70s or something?
I'd say probably 80, 81, somewhere in there. Yeah, late 70s.
I just know that show, Freaks and Geeks. We've talked about that before, right? One of the greatest shows of all time. They had, and that was set in the late 70s, I want to say early 80s, and they had the smoking pit.
Yeah, it was set in the mid 80s, I think.
Where the kids could go and suck on the cancer
sticks.
Linda
Cardinelli.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What else was she in? She
was in ER for a long time.
She was in Mad Men.
Was she?
Oh,
I've never seen Mad Men. Never watched it.
She was in something else too that was some other TV show. She's been in so many good TV series.
Also in Scooby Doo.
Yeah, she's
in what?
Pardon?
Scooby Doo.
Scooby Doo.
Yeah, she was in that.
Cartoon?
The cartoon?
No, the movie.
Well, who'd she play? Daphne?
I could see her as
Daphne.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. She was in, there's a, is that a, like, real life? That's not an animation.
Yeah, it was real life.
Oh.
With a real dog? Or was it like a CGI dog?
The dog was CGI, if I remember correctly, okay. But that was the only CGI part. Good movie.
What else was she in? She's been in a ton of stuff, though.
She was in Grandma's Boy. You ever see that?
No, I did not.
That's hilarious. You would love it the most.
Let's see. She was in something recently.
Daddy's Home?
No, it's called Dead to Me. She ends up being friends with this woman after her husband got killed by a drunk driver, and then basically the woman that befriends her is the drunk driver that killed her husband. Spoiler alert.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, she's been in a ton of stuff. She went to Loyola Marymount.
Watched them play Gonzaga the other night. Gave them a game for a while. They have this dude, Loyola Marymount has this guy on, he's like a 6'6" post guy with a mullet who looks part Indian. And like you look at him and you're just like, there's no way this dude can play. And he was giving them all sorts of problems, man. All heart. But I stayed up watching that because Kansas beat Baylor. And so I'm thinking, okay, there's something in the air tonight. Something in the air tonight, Bear. Baylor went down. Maybe Gonzaga's about to go down. And for about a half, it looked like it. And then Gonzaga became Gonzaga. Finished the deal. They might go undefeated. What was the last? Is it Indiana, the last team that went undefeated in 1976?
Yeah, but they aren't making it all the way through the tournament.
You don't think so?
No. If I were them, I'd be a little bit worried.
You don't get tested much out there, that's for sure.
No, you don't. And they're gonna be in some tough games in the tournament.
So. I'm pulling for them. I like that program, man.
I haven't decided who I'm pulling for yet outside of Tennessee in the tournament.
Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Coming up, Steve Wiltfong, national recruiting analyst of 247sports.com. We'll ask him about Taven Jackson, the quarterback Martin was referencing, as well as the Wade twins. Get into this quarterback situation a little bit, too. And what's going wrong for Josh Heupel right now? How can he get some much-needed recruiting momentum? Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russ LeBaire back with you. Pleased to be joined right now on the G3 Help Me Hotline by Steve Wiltfong. He's the Director of Recruiting for 247 Sports. Steve, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. How are y'all?
Hey, man, we're doing very well. Thanks. It's been a while since we've caught up with you, but, man, this recruiting thing, it has become 247 is an understatement. I mean, it is every single minute. There is no downtime. And this is a weird year with the whole dead period and teams can't go and visit players can't go and visit facilities and things like that. And yet the commitments still keep flowing, Steve. It's pretty interesting how these coaches have just adjusted to the Zoom calls and everything and kept things rolling right along.
Yeah, well, recruiting is one thing that's kind of remained constant in this uncertainty is you can continue to build relationships with top targets. You can continue to watch film. And for many states, they had football this past fall, so there's a lot of that to dive into. There are camps that are popping back up, so, you know, colleges are, you know, evaluating that best they can as well. And, not being able to get kids on campus has made the recruiting process even more tedious for colleges because they hit scheduling Zooms, making sure everything fits on the calendar, making sure all the people are in the right places for their Zoom meetings or their virtual tours and all of that. It's kind of been a taxing and tedious deal for college football recruiting departments right now.
Steve, it's been a rough 72 hours or so for the Tennessee Vols with Ty Simpson committing to Alabama on Friday, and then last night Sam Horn casting his lot with Missouri. Where does Tennessee go from here now that the top two QBs are off the board for Josh Heupel?
Well, I'm certainly excited about the young man you guys got on campus right now, Caden Salter out of the Lone Star State. He's a guy that we ranked higher than our peers. He was in the top 50 in the top 247 player rankings, and we're hoping that Coach Heupel maximizes his success in Knoxville and makes that ranking look good. And Caden was a talented, fearless player on the prep level, and that's the kind of player that Tennessee, I think, is going to need as they go in a new direction. And Caden's got a ton of ability. And as far as where Tennessee goes next in this class, they put out a couple offers. They offered Taven Jackson from my neck of the woods. I live in the Indianapolis area. He led his high school program, Center Grove, to a state title in Indiana in the state's largest class. He's kind of blown up, and you know, I talked to him this week, and he's intrigued by the new Tennessee staff and that offense that they had at UCF that was ranked number two nationally under Coach Heupel. And, you know, Coach Heupel obviously put up big numbers in the SEC when he was the OC at Mizzou. You know, they offered Drew Aller. I think that one's probably going to end up staying more Midwest, Big Ten. I think for Tennessee, they're kind of in a situation right now where, you know, they're a program that they're going to be counting on evaluations and player development. I don't know how many no-brainers they're going to be able to land at this position right now, but we'll see, I guess.
Well, it's a double whammy, right? Because, first of all, it's a new staff, and so they're playing catch-up with all these prospects, and Ty Simpson's been talking to Nick Saban for 2 years. And all of a sudden, Heupel comes in there, and he hasn't been able to recruit that kind of player down at UCF. And in addition to that, Steve, you've got the looming specter of an NCAA investigation going on. And so, you know, all these other opposing coaches are saying, you don't want to go there. They're going to have a two-year bowl ban and probation and all this stuff. So it is really a difficult job, but I guess that's why they're paying the guy $4 million, right?
Well, I think the latter part is certainly why Tennessee is maybe struggling early in the cycle to build momentum on the trail, because typically when you have a coaching change at a place like Tennessee, that is going to come with the recruiting bump, because Tennessee, I've been there, it is a special place. You guys have terrific facilities there. You guys have an outstanding fan base. It's passionate around there. It's a place that's had success. It's a place that's had draft picks and great players. And I think Tennessee's even put together a good staff of recruiters here. When you look at guys with the track record of Rodney Garner, Alex Golish is a hardworking recruiter. Brian Jean Marie was one of Michigan's best recruiters. Tim Banks is a proven guy in that regard. Cody Burns. So this is a good staff that I think is just walking into a tough situation. And I don't think expectations for recruiting are fair to them right now until everyone knows what hand they're playing with and what cards are dealt.
What kind of recruiting reputation did Josh Heupel and his staff have at UCF?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it's tough to, like, put a finger on some of these group of five staff. Like, for instance, when I look at Cincinnati, Luke Fickell, I know exactly what they are, because Luke Fickell was an electric recruiter when he was at Ohio State. And talking to Coach Fickell when he first got to Cincinnati, he said to me something that has stuck with me that I think is the evolution of recruiting right now, is that he said, every staff I've been on, the head coach has been the best recruiter on staff. And he pointed to Jim Tressel and he pointed to Urban Meyer. Now, he pointed that Tressel and Urban Meyer had different philosophies, but they both set the tone. And he sets the tone at Cincinnati, and they've had the top group of five recruiting class the last couple cycles. They've won 11 games twice and then 10 games this year, and they got it rolling there. I think that's the kind of effort that you're looking for Coach Heupel at a place like Tennessee, where their built-in advantage of recruiting in SEC country isn't the same as Georgia and Alabama and even the Florida Gators, where there's just a lot more talent, championship caliber talent, closer to those programs, Auburn too. So at Tennessee, I think that your head coach needs to be very involved as a relationship builder, or you just better be really, really good at out-identifying and developing and out-scheming your peers, because Alabama, they're getting guys that are no-brainers, you know, and then making the most out of them.
Yeah, the reason I asked Steve is because we've heard – mixed messages about Heupel and his – nobody says that he's a terrible recruiter at UCF, but there's not a lot of people, he's a super dynamic personality, lots of hot sauce and all that stuff. But he has assembled a pretty impressive staff on paper. You mentioned Rodney Garner, Brian Jean Mary, and Tim Banks and those guys. Can that work if the head coach isn't necessarily a super dynamic personality, but he surrounds himself with those type of guys? As long as he's pretty organized in recruiting, can that work at a rebuild like Tennessee is right now?
Well, I think it's extremely tough during pandemic recruiting. Yeah. I think that when you're able to get guys on campus and you're able to get them in your office, or you're able to get them around your staff who's dynamic in that regard and get them in that atmosphere in Knoxville, maybe even win a big game in front of 100,000 fans and have 10, 11 of your commits there helping with the cause of recruiting a young man. A kid can get swept up in that, but when Kirby Smart is crushing the phone lines and Nick Saban is just as good a living room guy as there is, and even like Sam Pittman's hustling and Eli Drinkwitz, he built that relationship with Sam Horn for 6 months. Sam Horn's lead recruiter was Coach Drink, and Missouri had a top 25 class last year, and so they're ripe for another one this year. You know, I think that's the way college football is going, is where the living room guy and the closer is kind of going away, and these nine inning guys are taking over. And we'll see what Coach Heupel. You know, I'd be lying if I told you I knew exactly what kind of recruiter he is. He's, you know, he had a top five class in his conference last year. But the previous year it was seventh in their league. But with Group of Five, it's so much about, you know, that is a straight evaluation and player development scheme league. You know, everybody's, you know, recruiting guys with ceilings and traits or maybe finding sleepers, guys that were overlooked. Here in the SEC, you know, there's guys that just are difference makers each year, and Kirby Smart's certainly not cheating anybody in trying to get him with his effort.
Talking with Steve Wiltfong, he's the director of recruiting for 24/7 Sports. And Steve, we talk about the dead period and how that has thrown a major monkey wrench for a year now into college football recruiting. And I find it a bit ironic in that dead period seemingly helped Jeremy Pruitt when he was putting together his 2021 class. Of course, it fell apart once we got to the season, but you remember last summer Tennessee was in the top five, I think, of your national rankings for the longest time. Now that same scenario that was helping Pruitt with they were out front as far as all the Zoom calls and everything is actually hurting Josh Heupel, as again he just can't bring guys to campus. What are you hearing about when the NCAA might lift that? Is there any hope of a school like Tennessee, or any schools as for that matter, getting players on campus for visits this summer?
Well, I'm under the impression the dead period got extended to May 31, unless I read it wrong.
So I think
everyone's hopeful for June, right?
I would hope so. Josh Heupel hopes so, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it'll be an opportunity for him to show off. I think Tennessee, more than anyone, is hoping for they're in that short list of more than anyone hoping for this pandemic to be over so they can kind of get young men and their families in front of them and really pitch their product. Like I said, I think they got some really good recruiters on staff and good guys, good humans. So, but there's just not – there's a lot more questions, but you can get those answered better when you're sitting in front of a family and you can get them to buy into you. And you don't get these jobs at Tennessee by accident. You know, you're good at what you do, and this is a well-put-together staff from a recruiting standpoint, but they walked in with no face cards in their hand. So it's hard to win when you don't have any face cards.
No doubt. Steve Wiltfong with us this afternoon. Steve, two more things. We'll let you run here. College football recruiting, such a blood sport. We all know this. You've seen the rumors about UT and the McDonald's bags and everything that we've heard here. Are you surprised by anything that you've heard about Jeremy Pruitt's recruiting operation here in Knoxville the past 3 years?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, for me, I, I don't know what's true, and it sounds like Tennessee's still investigating it themselves, right? It hasn't even been handed over to the NCAA. So, you know, we'll see what comes out of that investigation.
Salter, you guys very high on him, as you said earlier. Take us back. I know he's a year or so ago, last year, when he committed to Tennessee. What is it about Caden Salter that you guys 247 like so much?
Well, I just think he's got a lot of natural traits that you covet at this position. He's a natural thrower of the football with just kind of a whippy release, that whippy quick release. He's a playmaker, you know, has a good pocket presence. He's athletic. He's kind of a playmaker. He can make things happen outside of the pocket. When he scrambles, he can be dangerous there. We saw him in a camp setting, and he was terrific. And then in the season, his development continued. He's a guy that's also been on a steady incline with his development. Junior year, he kind of emerged, was then terrific in the off season, and then had a great senior year and taking his team to the state title game. I mean, this is a young man that threw for almost 3,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and rushed for over 1,000 yards and 16 more scores, playing against really good competition. And he's just an incredibly confident kid. I think he's got some explosiveness to him as an athlete. He's still developing physically, but just has a lot of natural traits and qualities, tangibles and intangibles, that I think he's got a chance to be real successful. And if I'm him, I'm real excited to play for Coach Heupel, you know, because of what Coach Heupel and Coach Golish and those guys have done over the course of their career. I think that Tennessee's offense is one that, like, and I said this on the 24/7 Sports podcast this week, they couldn't really figure out the quarterback position under Coach Pruitt. I think that Tennessee, you know, upgraded a lot of their position rooms with him, but quarterback just couldn't find consistent play. And I think Pruitt was on the verge of adding Ty Simpson to Caden Salter, and then, you know, those wheels fell off, but you still got Caden Salter, and he could be a hell of a driver to this bus that y'all got there with the potential he has.
All right. Always like to end on a positive, so that seems like a good jumping off point. Steve Wiltfong, 247sports.com. Go check them out. Steve, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, take care, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Steve Wiltfong, 247, joining us via the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or, again, call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee for over 20 years now, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. Again, that's g3helpme.com. A lot to unpack there. Take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls on the way. It's Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell and Bear back with you. Steve Wiltfong, 247sports.com. Bear, what did you learn?
That he agrees with me that, you know, I was about Caden Salter and just his breakdown of him. It was nice hearing that.
All our eggs are in that basket, right? Eggs are in the basket right now.
I don't know if all our eggs are in that basket, but I mean, I feel like we should be hopeful and thankful that we've got an elite level quarterback coming in. So, I mean, he checks all the boxes, played against the best competition in his home state, winner.
I feel like you're selling him harder than anybody I know. If he doesn't work out, Bear, I'm going to be really mad at you.
And that's different from every other day that ends in Y. How?
I'm not an angry person. Don't put that on me. Don't put that mojo on me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you are when it comes to me. I'm just saying, he may come in and be a bust. You never know with kids. But all signs point to him, you know, having a really good shot at being really successful. I mean, I feel better about him than I have, you know. We all thought Garantano was going to be the second coming.
Yeah. Man, I remember in 2016, I was at the Florida game before that game, and this is when we had Dobbs, right? When he was running the show. And I was down there talking to somebody on the staff and about Garantano, and they said, this dude is so much better than Dobbs. He's going to be awesome. He was made to run this offense, all this stuff. And I'm just thinking, wow.
My worst sports take ever revolves around Garantano. I believe I told it to you a while back, Russell.
Oh, wait, here. All right, what do you got for us, Adam? Go ahead and reset this one.
So there is a screenshot that my buddy never lets me down.
Oh, no.
And,
Adam.
You know, as buddies do, you talk sports, and I sent him a text message. I believe it was right after we had choked away one of the games, Dobbs's last year, and I said, and I quote, "By the time JG is done in Knoxville, nobody will ever even remember who Josh Dobbs was."
What an idiot. So basically, we should never take anything you say seriously ever again.
But if it would have hit, it would have been an extremely hot take.
Come on, Bear. What's your coldest take?
Brought to you
by
the show?
Blue Water Climate Control. Yeah. Your coldest sports take that you've ever thrown back there that you know is out there. You don't really want to bring it up. You just kind of cringe whenever you're like, oh, I can't believe I said that. I know what mine is.
What's yours?
People, the 37 love to throw this one out there. I haven't even taken it down. It's up there somewhere. I was all in on Chad Morris being our next coach during the ill-fated coaching search of 2017.
Oh,
yeah. I have
you
a bad one.
Out there.
Yeah, like I was all in on it.
Mine's probably go get Jeremy Pruitt from Shiana Sunday. If I'm being honest.
Oh, yeah, man.
I did re-listen to that though, the other day.
The Shiano Sunday broadcast?
I was bored. I was cooking breakfast, looking for some content to go
cooking
back
You started your day with that?
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a pretty epic podcast.
It was an amazing broadcast, no doubt.
Those guys were fire that day.
Steve-O.
Yeah, that's probably my cold steak.
Steve-O says Linda C was great in Dead to Me on Netflix. I don't think I've even
heard
that.
Yeah, that's the show I'm talking about. It's got her and I think it's Christina Applegate.
Man, she
did you say her name?
Oh, yeah. She was smoke show back in the day.
Oh, she still is. Classic American beauty. Fine actress.
I liked her on Married with Children. She's kind of trashy.
Yeah, something popped up on either my Twitter or Facebook feed over the weekend. I'd forgotten about this. You remember when Anthrax showed up at their house on Married with Children? Yeah. Scott Ian and the boys burned it down. And then I can't remember his character. Ed Bundy came home and one of the guitars was just embedded in his wall. You big Anthrax fan back in the day, Russ?
Couldn't name you any of their tunes.
Yeah, the only one I could name is that one they did with Public Enemy, Bring the Noise.
Yeah. Uncle Bobo on Twitter says, we had a smoking box in high school in 1985. Didn't we know by then that cigarettes were terrible for you? I feel like 1985 was not that long ago.
I
kind of
feel like they knew it in the early 70s.
And we're still letting kids, minors, smoke in our public schools. Yeah, that doesn't seem like the best idea in hindsight. We used to let people smoke on planes. Remember the ashtrays on the armrests in planes?
Yes.
Flying at 500 miles an hour, 30,000 feet in the sky, in a tube full of oxygen, people are just lighting up. How did planes not blow up in the sky all the time?
Well, I mean, because it's not pure oxygen. I know a guy here, an old buddy of mine, that got busted trying to tamper with. He was housed, and he was a hardcore smoker at the time, and he was flying out to L.A. And another buddy of ours was with him, and he had gone to the bathroom. And he didn't come back for a long time. And my other buddy, Don, said the flight attendant came up to him, said, you know, your friend, we caught him smoking in the bathroom. He was trying to mess with the smoke detector. And then he played dummy. He's like, who?
I don't have a friend.
Yeah, it's exactly. He pulled the Russell. He's like, I don't know who that guy is. And then he got out of it. They were, you know, at the time they were on, I think, Elektra. They were signed with Elektra, and somebody got involved when they landed at LAX and got him out of it. So they had mercy on him. But, yeah.
Is that where most people probably started smoking in high school? It's so bad, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to remember back when.
Where'd you get your first cigarette, Bear? Do you remember?
Oh, stole it out of my mom's purse.
Nice.
Yeah.
Virginia Slims?
Nah, I think they're like Salem's. She's a menthol. Salem's or something like that. What, Newport? Yeah, I think it was Salem. Salem 100, Salem Light or something like that.
You just took an immediate liking to it, or did you cough your brains out?
No, I coughed my brains out. I mean, the first time I inhaled, I spent like, because I remember it was during the summer. We were supposed to go see some James Bond movie, like our crew, the neighborhood crew. We were going to go see a movie that night. The new James Bond movie was out. And I remember I had to, like, I laid out in my backyard. It's the sickest I've ever been in my life. And then I thought for sure I'd never smoke again after that. But then, you know, I kind of picked it back up and then kind of never put them down.
Norm MacDonald has a great bit about that where he said, hey, I got caught. My dad caught me smoking a cigarette when I was a little kid out behind the house, and he took me in the garage and he made me smoke an entire box of cigars. That's when I started smoking cigars. He said, a couple of years later, my dad caught me out behind the house smoking a big fat joint. And he took me into the garage and injected me with heroin.
I love Norm MacDonald. That guy's nuts.
Yes. I feel like that was an urban legend. You get caught smoking a cigarette and your dad makes you smoke the entire pack just to... Nobody ever did that, right? To teach your son a lesson. Oh, I'm going to sit here until you smoke this entire pack of cigarettes.
I remember it wasn't with cigarettes. Now, when I was little, like the old man, like I always loved the smell of, like, whiskey. Still do to this day.
It's a good smell.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And I wanted to try it. And like, yeah, go ahead, Bright Eyes, have a sip. And took a sip of it.
Take like, a big old gulp.
Blasted it back out. And, I've never really liked the taste of alcohol that much. So,
stay with us. The Drive continues. Hour number three coming up.